Welcome to Transformation Education Live. This is Dr. Kathy King. We're at the NIACE conference in Albany. And we're packed in. I think we have Alex here in the back of the room. I think we have about 350 people in the room, don't we? All right, and we're excited because we're adult educators. Yeah! And we're here to learn about podcasting and education. I am so glad to be here with you folks. We've had a little bit of an intro and warm up. What we're going to do with this recording is, after the fact, I'm going to post it on our website so you can share it with your colleagues and say, this is an example of how easy it can be if you record a session with it in mind that you're going to share it with a global audience. Rather than just speaking to the group of people in the room, but you're also speaking to a global audience, rather than just recording a lecture, but you think about a global audience as well, just as we teach our students in writing, you can then repurpose your content and extend it and scale it so much further so that people can independently access it and use it. So this takes what we do face-to-face, and we can take it and share it so many times beyond what we just do with one group of people individually. All right? So this will be an object lesson that you have yourself. If I go too fast, you don't catch exact words I say or technical terms, you can go back and replay it. If you want to share it with somebody else, you can take them to the site, send them to the site, and they can listen to it. See some of the possibilities? Very simple. All I'm doing is hitting record in order to do that. But one of the things I do different is I think about a global audience, and I think about designing what I'm doing with that in mind for continual use. So in addition to what I'm presenting here, I'll also take my PowerPoint and I'll spin it into a PDF file and post that on the web with the audio so people can open that up and watch it while they're listening to the narration. There is a way, I can teach you some other time, of combining the two so that you open up the PowerPoint and then you hear it, okay? And you can combine what you've recorded into it, okay? So you could create a whole package. That's another opportunity. But here we're combining multiple media, right? In order to reach people. Why would we want to do that as adult educators? Why would that be important? What are some of the benefits of using multiple media? Ideas? What's that?
You can accommodate different learning styles.
Learning styles, yes. What else?
Access to many people.
There you go, right. Larger audience. What else? Oh, excellent. You can change this after the fact. Yes, absolutely. Excellent points all around. Excellent. And there are so many others as well, because in addition to learning styles, you also have perhaps learning disabilities. Okay? So that you might have some people that have a visual difficulty. They can blow the screen up larger, right? They can get a visual enhancer. You might have people have auditory problems, they can increase the volume. They can slow it down, or if they're from New York City, New York State, they could speed it up, okay? So you have a lot of benefits here to accommodate different adult learning needs.
Also, adults or anyone could make their own podcast, and that's agency, identity.
Absolutely. We get into that big time. This is one of the things that I've experienced so much more with my students. The empowerment level of this is tremendous. And when you think of our literacy students, ABE, ESL, workplace training students, one of the things that we're always trying to accomplish is how to make them more active, how for them to see the authentic reason they're involved in their lessons. This is an authentic demonstration right off. So what the heck is a podcast? She's jabbering about podcast. What is it? It's a recording published on the web and automated for distribution. Simplest definition, okay? If you just take the audio and post it on the web, that's a digital file posted on the web. A podcast goes even further. It's tied together so that each individual episode is like a bead in a necklace. And they're linked one to another. And then, so you give the title to the whole series of episodes. So if I go into iTunes and I say, I want to subscribe to Financial Literacy Podcast, our newest series, talking financial literacy, you go into iTunes and you subscribe to it. As soon as a new episode is developed and posted on the web on the feed, on the technical term called a feed, when next time you open iTunes, the new episode, bam, shows right up in your iTunes program. Rather than you saying, I like Teachers Podcasts, I like Talking Financial Lit, I like NPR, and I like the one that they have for this and that and the other, I'm going to go to this website, this one. Do they have a new one? No, yes, no, no. Tomorrow, no, yes, no, no, no. No, no, no. Oh my goodness! Instead, it's one-stop shopping. Open iTunes, you subscribe to 1, 2, 3, 4. You go into iTunes once a week. Anything that's updated comes right in. It's called a push technology. That's what happened in 2004. They combined audio, digital, recording.
So with push technology.
The podcast, you have to put it onto iTunes?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Or YouTube or any?
No. You post it on the web, you set up a server, which I'll show you this afternoon. Okay. You can set up a free service. You can either record it on the web for free, or you can record it on a recorder or your computer for free. Post it on a service, and then you go around to the different podcast directories like iTunes and say, hey, I have a podcast. This is its name, and this is the description. And you put in the address. You're in that directory. And so anybody that says, oh, I want to listen to Mary Jane's podcast, they click it, and it goes over to where you have it on your site. So you post it one place, and all these directories point to it.
For non-for-profit, but you could also make a profit.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. There hasn't been a big wave of adoption to pay podcasts. The one thing that some people are doing with some success, and some of these hosts will do it, that you can use like Podomatic and Blueberry and all that I'll show you this afternoon, is you can insert ads into your podcast and get paid by the companies to do that. We haven't done that with our podcast because we're getting outside funding to do some of it. And we're trying to keep it clean and non-sectarian or whatever.
Could your school use this with online teaching and a podcast?
I do right
at the
now.
Same time, right?
Yeah. With my Fordham University, where I'm a professor, we have a master's in adult ed. And we offer it by online learning now. And my online courses include not only text and books, but podcast episodes, video clips, all sorts of different things that we include with it. So again, you're addressing multiple learning styles, multiple learning needs, and it's a richer environment for them. Just like you had readings in college, now my students also have listenings. They love it because they can listen on the train, in the car, at the gym. My old joke, I apologize if you've already heard it. So many people write into me and say they listen to the podcast when they're at the gym. They're getting thinner. I'm not. We gotta figure this out. All right? Will somebody figure this out? When they're on a treadmill, I think I should get benefit. I did the work. I created the podcast. I'm keeping them motivated. Come on, you know? I think that's fair. All right? So when you figure that out, I'm going to give you top billing on my episodes for eternity. You figure that out because that would really help my physical condition. So that's just an aside. This is one of my co-hosts, Mark Gurra, and I. We've been doing this for 3 years because we're insane. We're actually up to 160 episodes. It's a lot of work because of the way we do it. We're creating a lot of original content, but we've reached over 4 million people around the world. Turkey, Russia, South America, Asia, Thailand, Malaysia, New York, New Jersey, Texas, Oregon, Alberta, British Columbia, Toronto. you name it, Hawaii, New Zealand, Australia, Auckland, wherever that is. I was looking at Frapper Map. We have this little thing on our website, and people can sign in and say, hi, Mark and Kathy, or great show, or, you know, so glad you're here. And they sign in from around the world to say hi to us. And so you can click three and see that. What's that?
Kathy, can you reach them through iTunes? That's how you reach them, because they sign up for these things?
And they go to iTunes, and they can put in, they do a search there, and they say EdTech or professional development or teachers. And then up comes the list of all the podcasts on the topic. And they go through and they listen. And when they find one that they like, they subscribe to it and start listening on a regular basis.
And that's the only way you
That's the only
this?
Way we've been doing it. Or handing out cards like I just did.
Yeah.
That's all we did.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
Nobody's more shocked than us. And that's why I keep sharing it with people, because we have a huge potential here. I'm going to fast forward to another critical point. How interested are people in educational podcasting? Don't they really just want to be, as somebody told me Saturday, bebopping to their music with their iPod? You go to the podcast directories and you watch it. The last 4 years, as I've watched those directories, the top of the list all the time, and now it's the top of the list of all possible podcast topics, from skiing to music, from dogs to sledding, from, I don't know, you know, knitting to, you know, bungee cord jumping to every sort of possible topic. The top of the list is education. What type of education, what topic do you think might be at the top of the general public seeking to use digital audio? You got it. Bingo. Right there. I think you just won. This is a telephone charm that hangs on your cell phone.
Oh, thank you so much.
That represents an iPod. Language learning. You have French podcasts, ESL podcasts, German podcasts, Russian podcasts, Italian podcasts, German podcasts, Greek podcasts, Japanese podcasts, Chinese podcasts. What podcasts you want? Grammar Girl, have you heard of that? Grammar Girl? That's a wildly popular podcast. Wildly popular. Grammar Girl. Grammar Girl. Grammar Girl. Who would think Grammar Girl? She was on like NBC and the morning show and everything. Grammar? Grammar? What the heck is happening to our society? All right? Grammar Girl podcast is making headlines everywhere. Okay? Adult Ed, we need to take notice. We have to capture this, because a lot of the people doing this are just high school teachers or college professors. They're not adult ed specialists. We can take this light years even further and design it specially for our students. The general public, what's the general public telling us? By the fact that language is at the top.
They need it.
They need it.
They want it.
They're looking for it. As my co-host said, this isn't a technology in search of a need. This is a need that's connected with the technology. And this has been amazing. 4 years we're seeing this at the top. And it was ESL podcasts and French podcasts for like 2 years. Now it's all of those I'm listing. It's just like, I'm going to look for Bavaria pretty soon. I mean, you know, it's going to be every possible language. It's phenomenal.
It's personalized. One of the nice things about Martha Stewart was that on occasion she would say, do you want to cook a chicken? Go get a chicken. And she started the very basic. And we all have those places where we're faking it, where we should have learned this thing, this piece of grammar. And we didn't. And now we can fill in the gaps in the privacy of
there you go. Yes, privacy, and you know what I love about it? And I've said this about computer-based learning for ages. They could play the same episode over and over and over, and nobody's going to say, what, you didn't get it yet? You're still on chapter one? What's the problem? There's nobody there. Privacy. They can play it slow. They can play rewind, as many times as they want. Self-directed, self-paced. Talk about differentiated learning. self-differentiated. Right? We need a whole new term. This can open up a whole other field. It's phenomenal. This is the first book on podcasting and education. There's only one other book out there right now, and it's just a survey of what's being done. We're revising this book this year to even update it, and then we're putting out a second book, A New Media, New Media Revolution.
Okay. I'm really interested in all this, but I was thinking about somebody I teach who, I teach older people in the 50s.
Yes.
Who do not know how to spell, will never spell, will never get the DVD. So, I mean, this is a way for them, one of them can read, actually, but she cannot spell anything. I don't know if it's so actually, perhaps this could hold, think could transform into a way for her to get her DVD.
Absolutely.
If she could learn, she can speak, she knows she can speak syntactically. So it's a way for
absolutely. And you can develop online materials to go along with it. So then you narrate the materials as they walk through the exercises. Mm-hmm. Right?
You're just going to be able to write a sentence, that's it.
Well, you can try this into a visual.
Exactly. You've got all sorts of possibilities here.
Yeah.
All sorts of possibilities. Here's iTunes. How much does it cost to download iTunes?
98 cents.
No, it's free. To download iTunes is free. The software is free. To download the podcast, most of them are free. You do not have to pay anything. When you start downloading music, that's when it costs. But to download the program is free, and most of the podcasts are free.
I'm finding that the schools are blocking the downloading of the iTunes software. So I'm having a struggle trying to get this to my students.
So you can use some of the others, like podcastpickle.com, blueberry.com, podcastalley.com. There's 130 other podcast directories. A few other options. You also, one of the major ways we're telling people, even simpler than navigating iTunes, is go to the Google and put in the topic you're looking for, literacy podcast. And you go to the home page for the podcast and be able to get what you want there. And they'll usually have a little badge, a little icon that tells you what directories they're in. So like then you could go to Podcast Pickle or Podomatic, some of these others. You'll see them listed in a minute. And you can subscribe there and use that as your home base rather than iTunes. We can work around it.
I would think that there'd be a lot of problems with making sure that whoever's podcasting you're listening to is reliable
exactly.
And informed correctly. So you get a lot of misinformation.
Absolutely. You have to be a critical consumer, like with anything you read and anything on the web. So what can we do with adult learners with that? Turn it around. Use it as a learning opportunity. How?
In the classroom.
Right. How do you do that?
Do a session.
Do a session and help them figure out how do they be critical consumers, how do they evaluate what they're listening to. Talk about literacy skills. What was the hand back here?
That's okay, I was just going to add something.
We got it?
No, it was
bad. Okay, all right. So teach it that way. And then in addition, another way to do that is you pick out the episodes you want them to listen to, download it, and give it to them. Okay? Or you pick out the episodes and post them on a blog. All right? Blog's very easy to set up. And so then they just go to one page and go click, 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 click. So you've got a menu set up for them. But I really like with adult learners also building in the opportunity of those skills to analyze and criticize, critically think about how they're consuming and making choices about what they're listening to. Yeah, when that fits in. Oh, yeah. That can fit into a lot of different ways.
I'm technologically challenged. Can you burn a CD?
Absolutely. Yes.
So
thank you. Yes.
Those are inexpensive. You can give them to students.
10 cents a piece. What's a CD cost? 5 cents? 10 cents? Burn them. You can probably fit about 70 podcasts on one CD. 70 episodes. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Send material home for them to listen to.
Has anybody ever gotten in trouble doing copyright?
copyright.
No, most podcasts listen to the information, go to their website. Most of them are Creative Commons. Most of them, the reason they're out there is they want to be freely distributed. They are not DRM protected like music. Like you get all CDs. That's, if they had that, you wouldn't be able to switch it over to different devices. They're not protected like that at all. All we ask, like for our podcast, at the most, the only protection is if you use our material, we want you to keep on there that it's our material. Give us credit, right, that it's ours. That's all. And that's the most. Other people are like, we don't even care if you do that. You know, we just want you to keep in there that it's Kathy and Mark, Teacher's Podcast. But that's the very nature. The podcasting movement has like its major theme song is the democratization of the media. That's how I felt then for you. Democratization. Isn't it? It's like I heard that and I'm like, man, I'm home. You know, it totally connects with where I'm at, my values here. Democratization of the media, what's that about? Right. What do you think it means?
It's not majority rules. Anyone can create a podcast.
There you go. Anybody can have their voice heard. You don't have to have big bucks behind you to sponsor you. You don't have to get approval. And there's no censorship. Be aware of that. FCC has no control. Yeah. Okay? So it's wide open space, which gives tremendous opportunity. So here's iTunes. There's a podcast button right there. Once you get into the podcast area, there's an education button. Even from the front page, though, up in the top, hey, this works as a pointer. You have a search built in, double duty. Look at that. You also can push doors open. I found that. There's a search field. So if you go, I'll give you a trick. Go to iTunes, put in Dr. Kathy King. You get all my podcasts. I have about 8 different series because I'm nuts.
Do you do any videos?
I am not doing much on video because, as far as podcasts, because audio podcasts, usually 30 minutes takes me about 4 to 5 hours to edit, whereas 30 minutes of video takes me 10 times as long. Return on investment for me, being that I'm not a movie producer, it's not worthwhile for me right now. I am videotaping a lot of my work because I'm taking those clips and including them in my distance ed. That's effective because my students never get the face-to-face, and I think for instructor-led instruction for credit courses, dialogue and that connection, we're still that type of society. So I'm trying to give them more getting to know me sort of in multiple dimensions, you know. Excellent question. That's where I am right now.
My son is studying physics, and he had trouble with some quantum physics and found a video on ITV.
Oh, it's powerful.
To a professor, free download. He could get extra help.
Oh, it's powerful. And I download a lot of video, different clips and everything off the web and use them in my classes. My son is in engineering. He had to make a video for one of his classes of a project he was working on. He's had to do it a couple of times during his bachelor's studies, make videos as part of his project to show how his project worked, to reenact a case study, different things like that. It's becoming part of the curriculum. Alex?
Quite open to you guys for adult education. I mean, we use tons of other resources. Kathy is an excellent start for that. But I bring in podcasts from Time, from Newsweek.
Yes.
They're all free. They're all easy to get to and download. I mean, it makes it extremely easy for your students to catch on to the concepts when they can hear it.
Right. So they can, a pre-reading activity can be listening and then reading and then discussing and analyze. Or listening, reading, and then listening. You know, so you combine it. Or you can do it concurrently. You know, so you mix it up and it gives you so many opportunities and use trade journals, use the newspapers, all sorts of different things. This makes it very rich. And that's a great point, Alex, because you're using already created existing content on the web. That's where you want to start.
And already reliable and
yep.
Valid, and I don't need to screen.
You want to start off with existing content. That's why you go to iTunes. And iTunes will also have listed it, and you can at least check at home. you know, where you don't have the firewalls and the blocks. They will have Time, Newsweek, Businessweek, NPR, Frontline, et cetera, all the major news ones that we can count on, right? And you can see what they have available that are going to fit with your content area, and then be able to go to their website, find where they are, get that URL, and use that in class. Okay? You follow what I'm doing? I'm doing a workaround in case you have a block. Because this happens. You know, we had to deal with it with blogs in K-12 schools. They blocked all the blogs. So using existing content is the way to start. There's tons of existing content out there. Search in Google for it. Go to iTunes. Look at some of the very well-made stuff. A lot of publishers have content that's created with authors of books that your students are reading. Interviews with authors, authors talking about their books. What a tremendous connection with the literature that would be for your students. Contextualize it, right? Bring it alive for them. Sci-fi, tremendous amount of great sci-fi. I discovered sci-fi at the age of 48. What a late bloomer. Through podcasts, okay?
I have a bad,
what's that?
A Holocaust museum. Fantastic stuff.
Absolutely.
On iTunes.
Yep.
On iTunes.
And then, if you have free audiobooks, there's a site that I'll show you, LibriVox, and that's listed in your materials. LibriVox.org is free audiobooks that are in the public domain, like Walt Whitman, Edith Wharton, poems, Mark Twain, things that are in the public domain. Just like Project Gutenberg put the text online, LibriVox.org is the audio side of that. So you can use that, download it, use it with your classes as already existing content. If we want to record and create content, this is my newest version of this. Okay? This was not what I was saying a year ago. Okay? I've changed my story. I've seen the light. I've got a new approach to this for general users. I think there's three major ways to approach creating podcasts at this point. You've got handheld. You've got using a computer with an inexpensive or an expensive mic. And there's also all-in-one solutions online. I think to think about it that way is helpful for a lot of people starting off. We might use different approaches in different settings, but it gives us options. And in this afternoon's session, we'll talk about how you make those choices, why some of them might fit different situations, teachers, students, different types of content, different things that you're doing. But you might use a handheld recorder to record it, then upload it and put it on as it is. Or you might use the handheld to record it, then put it in your computer and use free software to edit it before you post it. Or you can go to Podomatic.com, create a free account, plug in your mic on your computer, record it right there online, click the button, and you're done.
That cool bar down there.
Podomatic. Oh, this is a free office suite that I have. Let me close him. Okay, I'm going to show you that. Recording options, some of the things. So you can use the little digital recorder, right? $30, $40. $300 recorder like my Eterol. This is a very good one right here. $100, very, very good. Very easy to use. Big red recording button. Big green play button on the side. Looks like a tape recorder set of buttons. Remember those? Okay, looks like, but it's digital. And then you just plug the wire into your computer, your USB wire. Very nice, very good sound. These, you take these and you plug those into your computer. The headsets are nice. What do you think some of the benefits of the headsets are? If you use something like this, I'll model it for you. What do you think some of the benefits of a headset recorder are?
Hands-free,
good point, yeah. What else?
Concentration,
yes. Private listening. When I turn my head, the mic goes with me. Amazing how they designed that, isn't it? Who would have thought? Okay. All you do, did you know your computers have a headset and a microphone jack on them?
I just found that out.
A lot of people don't know. This has the added benefit, it doesn't mess up your hair. If you're worried about those things. Some of your students are. Okay? So that's a nice one, too. This little rock guy here, you know how much you get those for? About $5. Our total investment when we started podcasting, $5. Because we didn't know if we could do it. Okay? We didn't know. You need an available computer. You could set up a free account. Get your hands on some sort of cheap mic. Alex did even better. He got a free MP3 player. That's how he started, okay? Then, the way I approach technology, once I see if it really has a benefit, it's cost-benefit for my time and effort, I'm getting results with students, then I say, how can I improve this? How can I get better quality? And make decisions about investing a little bit more and see how that works. I keep continuing try to find the easiest ways to help other people be able to do things. I love to geek and hack and do the techie stuff, but I know most people don't, right? They won't do that, okay? So this is a schematic as to what you're going to do. You're going to record, and then you might put it in your computer, edit it with the software, and then post it on the web. And then these are all the people listening. All right? Schematics help, right? This is a picture of Podomatic.com. You take a cheap microphone, plug that into your computer, set up a free account. You go in here, big red button. You got that? It says record. What do you think we do? Press the button and talk. All right. Then you hit stop. Okay? They ask for a title and a description. Once you're done, it goes right up. It creates that push technology, the feed for you, and everything. It's listed, it's done. They give you a certain amount of space. They let you create up to maybe 12 minutes of a podcast. They give you a certain amount of storage space for free. If you want more space than that, you pay X number of dollars a month. All right, so that's our start off. You have also some ideas about curricular applications. This is LibriVox. And I'd be very happy to answer questions with you.